Welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. I'm David Giard, and I'm here today with Ignacio Lopez and Sally Buberman of Wormhole. How are you guys doing?
Great, thank you. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, thanks for being here all the way from, where are you?
Buenos Aires, Argentina.
I've never been. I want to go.
You have to. It's very beautiful.
I'm in Chicago, Illinois, which is also very beautiful. tell me about Wormhole. What does the company do?
Well, we provide companies, governments, and professional associations the simplest way to deliver their online training, but focusing on the live interaction. This means that we have created this awesome product called Wormhole Campus, in which companies can create their virtual university, deliver their online trainings, but focusing on the quality of in-person education. So from any computer or tablet or mobile device, they can talk to each other, share experiences, and interact the same way as they do in a personal training.
Are you so this is mostly for companies, or do you have some universities as customers as well?
80% of our customers are in fact companies, but we do have a lot of universities here in Latin America and governments as well.
How long have you been around?
Well, we started almost 9 years ago with a microteam of NCAP. And we've been doing great. We have more than 2,000 customers in 10 different countries around Latin America. We have offices in 3 countries. So things are doing awesome.
Mostly in Latin America?
Yeah, mostly Latin America. And we do have some customers in the U.S. as well, because we have a small office there in the West Coast. But yeah, mostly I would say it's Latin America.
Okay. And you two founded the company, right?
Yeah, we are 2 out of the 3 founders.
What's your role?
I'm the CEO, and he's the CTO, the tech guy.
Yeah.
The tech guy,
And Max, our other partner, he's in charge of sales and marketing.
Excellent. Good. I'm a tech guy myself. I'll have some tech questions for you. Actually, tell me a little about the technology. What's it built on?
So we have different components, right? So this way of architecting has been evolving with names. So from service-oriented architecture to microservices now, what we've done is built different components, and each of them are self-contained and built in what technology we thought was most appropriate for that microservice. So we have a big part of our solution is ASP.NET on a C# stack. And then we have also native apps for different platforms like Android and iOS. And we also have some low bandwidth, low latency components and backends for the real-time interaction to cope with the bad internet and network conditions that we have in Latin America. So we built our own infrastructure, and that is built in open source technologies and stacks such as Java, Python, C++, and Linux.
We talk about low latency. Are you talking about caching and keeping things local when networks go down?
Well, yes, and also being able to take video and audio out of, let's say, a browser and do a lot of server-side compression and adjustment and coping for bad network conditions to make sure that the communication in terms of audio and video goes smoothly, which is a challenge with the network conditions that we usually see in Latin America.
Oh, I see. So I imagine the networks in Buenos Aires, for example, are really good, but then when you get out into the mountains, they're much more spotty. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Exactly. You mentioned a lot of non-Microsoft technologies, but I heard you're using Azure. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's weird because we started around 9 years ago. So of course we had our own infrastructure. Cloud wasn't that pervasive back then. So we started with our own servers in a data center. So a disk failure meant that we have to go there and change the disk and all that. And then we switched to our own infrastructure, but with virtualized servers. And then we started to adopt some cloud providers. We were using Rackspace for a while, then we used some AWS for a while. This is before Azure really started to take off. Mm-hmm. So the advantages of the cloud were clear, but we initially didn't consider Azure because we thought it was going to be a pure Microsoft play, right? So part of our stack is ASP.NET and C# and SQL Server, but then the other part wasn't, right? So the other part, it was Redis, MySQL, Java, Linux. So we wanted to have one vendor and not dealing with many different vendors and problems at the same time. So at one point in time, Azure really started to embrace other stacks.
Yeah.
So we gave it a go. We tried it first with virtual machines, which was the easiest way to get started. And then more and more and more services became available as a service. So Redis Cache, for example. Super easy, just get the endpoint, start using it, scale it with one click or with the API. So we started to be surprised by the amount of things we could do with Azure in non-Microsoft stack. So we wanted to try some big data things last year, for example. And the technology we wanted to use was Spark, right? So Azure was the first cloud vendor to offer Spark clusters managed as a service, right? So we're not talking just about, oh yeah, I can do that. No, we're talking about like best in-class experience for these non-Microsoft components, and our team is super happy about that.
Interesting. So it sounds like you started that with infrastructure as a service. Everything was on a virtual machine, even when you went to the cloud, and you've been strategically migrating as much as you can to platform as a service.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, exactly. So virtual machines originally was the easiest way to migrate from on-premise or our own infrastructure to the cloud.
Sure, lift and shift.
It's not 100% managed. But then so then we started migrating. All right, so we're going to use SQL as a service now. So the first thing we migrated was SQL. And then we're going to use cache as a service. So we started to use Redis. And then we're going to migrate the web farm. So we started to use cloud services. So it allows us to start migrating things to the cloud and making use of the services, but without like an easy transition path from where we were before.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned, have you got rid of your online or your on-premise data center? Is that gone now, or is there a little bit left?
No. It's gone. It's gone. It's been gone for almost 2 years now.
Okay. So you've gotten rid of the expense of having all those computers and maintaining them all in-house, and you're moving to platform as a service. Is there any other advantages that the cloud is offering over on-premise?
Well, so a lot of the advantages are pretty obvious for people that have their own infrastructure, right? So you don't have to worry about hardware failures or operating system configuration, patching, security, etc. One of the challenges it presents is that when you're very used to dealing with your own infrastructure, you if anything goes wrong, you can access your servers or your hardware in some cases, and you can troubleshoot it yourself. When you're using platform as a service, one of our learnings is that sometimes it's a bit trickier or a bit harder to troubleshoot things because they are a bit abstract, right? So there are great things. So we've started to try out this application Insights. It's a new Azure service that hooks into your web app and gives you a lot of telemetry and tracings and visibility into what's happening. And it's been great to troubleshoot some pain points.
Interesting. Who got you started with Azure? Did somebody from Microsoft approach you, or did you seek us out?
Since part of the origin of our company is linked to a Microsoft competition called ImagineCap.
So you started as an ImagineCap project?
Yeah, exactly.
I want to hear about that. Start with that story.
Okay, well,
First of all, for those that don't know, what is ImagineCap?
Well, ImagineCap, we call it like the nerd Olympics, but the truth is that it's a worldwide competition in which Microsoft sponsors students and young professionals from all over the world to develop this amazing product that will help to solve the problems that UNESCO believes are the problems of the millennium. Uh-huh. And in 2007, it was education. So we've been, I wouldn't say struggling, but we had been thinking about, you know, doing something to help people in around our country and then around our region towards education. And Microsoft team told us about this competition in ImagineCap. So we decided to enroll, and we won Argentina, then we won the South Cone region, and we went to South Korea for the worldwide finals. And there, we didn't win, but a lot of people told us, you know what you're doing is great, what you are saying here is not something that happens in Argentina only, it happens in many, many countries around the world, why don't you focus on doing this, and instead of just being like a side project, you focus on building a company out of the
You know, it was about when Facebook started to be popular, when Twitter started to appear, the first uses of smartphones and mobile 3G connections. So a lot of things on the internet were evolving toward being more collaborative, more social, more real time, more interactive. And we felt, and we still feel, that there's a lot of that to bring into online education that most of the time is still delivered in the model that the internet had when it started, right? So people isolated, sit in front of a computer and browse through a content library. Sure. So we think that it was about time to do something better, and we started with that.
Exactly. And so after coming back of ImagineGap, that was August 2007, we said, why not? I mean, we were young, we didn't have kids, not married, we were living
by ourselves.
You were
in college, right? Are you college
then? Exactly. And but we were all, you know, working full time, and we were doing that after school and after work and on weekends. So you say, well, why not? And we decided to quit our jobs. Our parents completely freaked out. They were like, they were having like meltdowns, like, how come? I mean, you're working in such a big multinational company and you are leaving to do what? So yeah, they were.
I bet they approve now.
No, they are very proud now, but at the time they were scared, and we were scared too, but we could manage that. So we decided to quit our jobs and start the company, and that's how we started, based on that project that we had at the time. It was just a prototype, working prototype, but a prototype itself. So Nacho here was the guy, like, stay at home trying to build that prototype, or to convert that prototype into a first commercial version. And Maxi and myself, we were out trying to talk to as much people as possible, as many people as possible, try to convince them that you should try this, you should buy our product, you know, trust us. And that's how we started. And now we are more than 50 in the company, so I can't complain.
Yeah, and that's how we kept connected with Microsoft people. So they told us about Bizspark. And then Bizspark evolved it into free Azure credits to try out. Mm-hmm. So that's how we started to try out Azure, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And then we became judges of ImagineGap. So for 5 years or so, we were on the other side of the table trying to encourage other young people to become entrepreneurs as well.
That's a great story. I had no idea when we started this conversation. I'm going to use that story because I talk to a lot of students. And I try to encourage them to get to ImagineGap. And you're a success story out of that.
Exactly.
So Bizspark has been good to you? Are you still in that program?
No, we are exiting the program in a few months. But yeah, it's been great. To be completely honest, if we haven't had the help of the Azure credits to try the platform, we might have not started using Azure. So I think it was great.
Excellent. It's been 9 years. What are you most proud of about what you've accomplished?
Well, I think every day we're proud about different things. But for me, at least, it's seeing that what you have built, in fact, helps real people. Every day we receive an email from someone in the middle of nowhere saying, thank you for building this. Now I can do this particular training I couldn't before. And people, you know, actually cares about what you're doing. So I think that's, for me, the thing I'm more proud about. And then, of course, every time, you see yourself on a newspaper or an interview like this one, it's like, okay, I have accomplished something somehow. At least someone think that what we've done is worth it. So I would say
that. So it's not, so what I'm going to say, it might not be very intuitive, but every now and then we have servers going down or a software bug that causes people not being able to use the service, right? So when that happens and our customer success team gets swamped with complaints and angry people and people calling the office, you know, we have to fix that very quickly. But then it means that people care, right? So it means we built something that they need and that they use every day. It's not the same for them if it's working or not. So the same as Sally, I'm proud of that. And also I'm proud of being able to have built a team of almost 50 people right now.
Oh, wow.
Without that team, it would be impossible to do what we're doing right now. So,
and we build it from scratch, bootstrapping, which is also very different from what we read about Silicon Valley and startup in the US. We started with no money, just some savings we had, and that's it. And we reinvested, and we bootstrapped, and we managed to sales from scratch. So the whole team is paid with our own cash flow and our own money. So it's something that we also are very proud of.
Oh, yeah. No pressure there.
No, at all.
That is great. Is your whole team in Buenos Aires?
Well, we have, I would say 80 or 90% of the team is here, which are our headquarters. But then we have people in the U.S., people in Colombia, and also in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Sounds like you've done an amazing job with this company. How can people find out more about it?
Well, thank you. And if they want to reach us, they can go on our website, which is wormholeit.com. So they'll have all the information about us and also our numbers. So feel free to contact us, email us, or just give us a call.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you for watching Dev Radio.